Today is Tuesday, November 12th. Good morning from the Civic Media News Desk. I'm Joanne Krulotz. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed an additional $3 billion in investment to schools. Jill Underley's proposal includes increasing special education reimbursement to 90% provision per pupil, adjustments to revenue limits, limit property tax increases, index revenue limits to inflation for the first time in 15 years, and fund several grant programs. Underley says the investments would reduce the number of referendums for operating costs in local communities by having the state step up to its responsibilities. The Department of Public Instruction's overall budget request, expected to be released in full later this month, will propose more than $4 billion towards K-12 public education. The Richland School District has a number of students requesting to enroll in courses through the university system and technical college system. Students must have a study hall built into their schedule in each quarter per approved college class. There are three classifications depending largely upon whether or not the district offers a similar course in the high school. The classifications depend on whether the district offers a comparable course. If there is no comparable course that fulfills the graduation requirement, or if there is no comparable credit and does not fulfill graduation requirements. If students choose to take a course not approved, the family can pay for the course and have the credit transferred back with a pass or fail grade. These courses not approved would not be applied to the student's GPA, but can be applied toward graduation requirements. The estimated cost to the district is $100 per credit. The board unanimously approved the request of 20 students at last night's Richland School District board meeting. The board also approved a commemorative tree planting and bench placement in memory of Bob Rosencrans. Bob was a biology and AP environmental science teacher at RCHS from 1990 until 2015, and then continued to substitute teach once he retired until 2020. He was a nature lover and conservationist, teaching all that he could about the natural world to everyone who stepped into his classroom. In 2006, he plotted out and started a half-acre prairie that sits below the softball field on Hornet Hive Drive. He used the prairie as an opportunity to take his students out of the classroom in order to implement hands-on teaching. Once he retired in 2015, the prairie started to get overgrown due to the lack of attention due to Bob's frontotemporal degeneration that he was starting to suffer from and would ultimately be diagnosed with in August of 2020, finally dying from the disease on September 3rd of this year. His son Brock will restore the prairie as well as plant a burr oak tree that has been gifted in his memory. Along with the planting of the burr oak, he will place two Leopold benches around the tree and prairie. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission voted last week to approve rate increases in 2025 and again in 2026. About 15 million natural gas users statewide and roughly 1.6 million electricity users in eastern Wisconsin will be impacted by the increases. Preliminary estimates show the average residential We Energies customer will pay about $17 more for electricity and between $4 and $9 more for gas per month by 2026. The average WPS customer will see rates go up roughly $12 for electricity and $4 for gas over the same time period. The Public Service Commission expects to finalize the rate increase amounts by the end of this year. An attorney representing a prosecutor is struggling to convince Wisconsin Supreme Court to reactivate the state's 175-year-old abortion ban. Republicans have argued that the U.S. Supreme Court's reversal of Roe v. Wade in 2022 reactivated the ban. Attorney General Josh Call won a ruling from a Dane County judge last year that the ban prohibits feticide, not abortion. Prosecutor Daniel Ermansky has asked the Supreme Court to overturn that decision. His attorney, Matthew Tomei, told the justices during oral arguments Monday that the ban was never repealed. Justice Jill Karofsky told Tomei that he was asking the court to sign a death warrant for women and children in Wisconsin. An expensive campaign by abortion rights activists for state Supreme Court seats has yielded mixed results. Candidates backed by progressive groups won seats in Montana and Michigan in Tuesday's election. At the same time, Republicans expanded their majority on Ohio's court. One of the most heated and closely watched court races in North Carolina remained too early to call 2 days after the election. Groups on both the right and the left spent millions in the lead up to the election. Experts have said the spending shows how much the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade has transformed state court races. According to Madison police, Badger football staffer Jack Del Rio has been arrested for OWI. Del Rio was driving early Friday morning when his vehicle hit a street sign, broke a fence, and came to rest in a yard. Nobody was hurt. Witnesses pointed out Del Rio to officers as he was walking away from the area. Del Rio, who showed signs of impairment and admitted to driving, is charged with OWI, first offense. He was appointed to a senior advisor position by the Badger head coach, Luke Fickell, before the start of the 2024 season. The Badgers were on a bye this weekend. Fickell says Del Rio has stepped down from his role with the team following the arrest. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation hosted a ribbon cutting for the new Wisconsin 130 bridges over the Wisconsin River in Lone Rock. The efforts was a $40 million multi-year project. Wisconsin DOT Secretary Christina Boardman emphasized the importance of this project.
As we mark the completion of this multi-year project, we look forward to improved safety for all that travel this area. Highways 130 and 133 come together as a connection point for people traveling between the three counties. The busy highways are used by commuters and tourists, but this corridor is also important for freight and agricultural traffic, keeping essential goods moving throughout the region. We're proud to revitalize this critical link with a safer, more reliable infrastructure. These two stunning new bridges replace decades-old structures that reach the end of their service life. The project also reconstructed Highway 133 with comprehensive safety innovations to protect the travelers, including a guardrail and a concrete barrier wall that is designed to reduce crashes and prevent rock falls on the roadway. These were urgent safety needs for the community of Lone Rock and all those that pass through the area.
As part of the Riverway Board, Director Mark Cupp explained that the Riverway Board is statutorily required to work with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Natural Resources on highway bridge projects such as the Highway 130 bridges.
Therefore, we began working with DOT planners and designers early in the process, looking at alternatives to the existing alignment and focusing on the Highway 14 bridge at Spring Green for some of the design elements related to aesthetic treatments. Clearly, avoiding the rock wall at the south terminus of the bridge was an important feature. Minimizing wetland impacts and impacts on aquatic and terrestrial species of concern and habitats also were important. And then the aesthetics of a major bridge crossing the Wisconsin River. Cooperatively working as a team between different federal, state, and local governmental agencies, private sector contractors and consultants, the new design build format, challenging river flows up and down with records for high flows and low flows in each of the last 2 years. We have arrived at this day at this hour to dedicate the new bridges across the Wisconsin River at Lone Rock, connecting Iowa County to Richland and Sauk counties. A historic and glorious day indeed.
Following the ribbon cutting, the Lone Rock Fire, EMS, Richland County Sheriff's Department, and Iowa County Sheriff's Department held a small parade to commemorate the official opening of the bridge. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions has announced the Governor's Council on Financial Literacy and Capability is accepting nominations for the 2024 Governor's Financial Literacy Awards through November 22nd. The awards recognize individuals and organizations for increasing financial literacy, capability, and inclusion among Wisconsin residents. Any person providing exceptional financial literacy education or capability and inclusion practices in an innovative manner, any organization or business promoting financial literacy education or capability and inclusion practices in an innovative manner through its initiatives, and any individuals, organizations, or businesses whose purpose and heritage are ingrained in sustained financial literacy capability and inclusion, and whose reputation is in doing so is held in high regard as to serve as a model for others in carrying on the work of supporting financial literacy and expanding opportunities and security through financial capability, are all eligible for nomination. Nominations are to be submitted online at dfi.wi.gov/documents/educational/services/personal-finance/forms/governors-financial-literacy/awards-nomination-form on or before November 22nd.